I'm David Peets. This is my wife, Lacey. If you don't, I don't know, some of you may not know us. If you're new or visitors, and Lacey, if she's a camper. Thank you. We've been through some hard times in the past couple months with the loss of a child, and she has been strong, and I'm so glad that I married right. And young people, if I could give you a piece of advice this morning, marry right. Stay right, and it pays off. So we're going to show this video real quick.
14 months ago, 9 families had a vision. A vision for people. We found a dirty, old, run-down cinema and made it into a church. Then we went out into the highways and hedges and brought people. Allow me to take you on a short tour of our ministry and where our vision has brought us in 14 short months. We currently have 10 bus routes running more than 20 vehicles per week that provide transportation for people who live too far to walk to church and have no transportation of their own. These routes extend as far as 45 minutes from our church and provide for a means of an average of 600 children, teenagers, adults, and handicapped folks from all walks of life to attend our church. We also have almost 500 people who walk to church every week. We have Sunday school classes designed for every age group. Our class for adults over 30 meets in the main auditorium and has grown by 45% in the last year. We have recently started a married couples class, which has had a high day of 75. Our young adult class averages over 80 singles from ages 18 to 30. Our teen department consists of junior high and senior high classes for young men and ladies. It has expanded from 4 classes to 6 and has seen an increase of 65 teens per week. Our junior department currently averages over 160 boys and girls, ages 8 to 11. Our primaries, ages 4 to 7, have increased by 50% since last year. To make church easier for our mothers with young children, we provide a nursery with experienced workers who will care for babies and toddlers through age 3 while their moms enjoy the service. We average 13 on a weekly basis. Corinthians 1:21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." At First Baptist Church, we believe strongly in preaching. Our people not only get taught the Word of God in Sunday school, but they hear preaching from the man of God every week. From our children's services in primary, junior, and junior high, to the adult services, where we become people of the book.
I have a dream that someday I'll visit dozens and dozens of churches in dozens of countries around.
the end of each service, we invite people to trust Christ as their Savior. Many of these people take their first step of obedience as Christians and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We also encourage our people to make life-changing decisions at an old-fashioned altar. First Baptist Church, we believe good music is an essential part of every Christian's life. Therefore, we have an extensive music program which allows adults, teens, and children to participate in various groups that strive to bring honor to God. Every Friday at 7 p.m., we gather those people that many would dismiss as unhelpable and sometimes undesirable. We teach those with addictions of all types what the Bible says about conquering any addiction. We also take time before the service on Sunday evening to teach and train our young people and adults. At Overcomers Class, our teens are grounded in the Bible with practical teaching on soul winning, daily walking with God, Bible memorization, and much more. Our ladies are taught to dress modestly and are given practical helps for being wife and mother. Prayer, leadership, and Bible doctrines are among the many topics taught at our men's fellowship. As part of our vision for people, we started to teach our young men to be preachers through our Bible Institute. We began with a one-hour class once a week on Bible doctrines. After a short amount of time, we took the next step with 2 full days of classes per week. This year, we have started a new 4-year Bible college with classes 5 days a week. Hiles Anderson College of West Africa exists primarily to train preachers, to start churches, and to reach people with the gospel of Christ. All of this is made possible because of soul winning. More important than the music, fellowships, activities, and classes is our focus on actively spreading the gospel and obeying the Great Commission. As we go out soul winning, we are fulfilling the most important task God has given our church. Through classes and one-on-one instruction, as well as various opportunities to put this training into action, we take every chance we can to teach our people their responsibility to reach others for Christ. By soul winning in local neighborhoods, on bus routes, and in villages near and far, we do everything we can to reach everyone. When your kingdom comes, remember me. Peace you have.
all about right there. In about a year and a half, our team over there has been able to see about over 50,000 people saved, and the doors are wide open and we're full throttle. That's what it's all about. God told us to go into all the world, and that's what we're getting ready to do. And He's commanded everyone, and so a great missionary one time said that it's not the matter of whether you've been called to go to the mission field, it's whether or not you should be called to stay here. And we've already been commanded to go. And do you have a special calling to stay here? And I thought that was an incredible saying, but Lacey and I will be leaving June 25th to head to Ghana, West Africa, and excited, nervous, but we know that's where God wants us, and so the safest place for us to be is right in the center of God's will, whether it be 5,000 miles away or whether it be 200 miles away. In the center of God's will is the best place to be. He can protect. God's in Africa just like God's here. He'll protect us there just like He's protected us here. And He's always there for us. We'll be working with the college primarily. I'll be in charge of the dormitories and some teaching in the college. And Lacey will be doing some similar duties there. And then on the weekends, of course, we're involved in the church and bus routes. And we have a village. We have one village tabernacle that we had built that we saw the pole building that was out there, open air tabernacle at a village called Ajafo. And then we have another village service that we hold in a public school. Public schools are wide open. In January, I had the opportunity to go over to Ghana. And we were able to go into 17 different schools, and we took a group of about 50 people over there from First Baptist, and throughout that week we were able to see over 7,000 people saved. And our church there has seen over when we were there, we helped them have the highest day they'd ever had, 3,400 people, and little over a year and a half old, and full throttle, and God's blessing. Incredibly. Pray for us that we're in the process of trying to find land because we are at our limits. We're busting at the seams trying to find land to build on. And we've had a couple of people come to us saying, hey, we want to give you land, and then it's ended up falling through. So I'd ask you to pray for that. Incredible things going on over there. And we're excited to be going, excited to be used of God. And one of the most important things to learn growing up is that God will use anybody. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what background you come from, doesn't matter what how you grew up, whether you were in a Christian school or whether you grew up coming on buses and grew up in the public school, God still wants to use you. And he's got something great for you. You look all throughout the Bible, and we have examples of people that messed up in their life and did horrible things, and yet God turned around and used them in great and mighty ways. And I don't care where you're coming from this morning, God wants to use you, and God wants to turn your life into something that he can get glory from. I didn't know if anyone had any questions about where we're going. Is that okay? But if anyone has any questions, feel free to raise your hand and I can answer any questions you might have, whether it be about the work or as we're going. Anyone have any questions? Yes?
Safety issues,
it is very, politically and it's very stable, country on either side of Ghana. Both of those countries are very unstable, but Ghana's been stable for around 50 years. So that's as far as Muslim influence, there is not, on either side you have Ivory Coast and Togo, and both of those have the Muslim extremists that go through and shoot people, but Ghana is not like that. They have no Muslim presence there. There may be a few, but they're not extremists. And so there's, it's wide open for religion. In fact, within 3-block radius of our church building, we have over 35 churches. But they're just different denominations, and the people become very confused. One man that I had to lead to Christ, I had to sit down for about 45 minutes to an hour, and trying to unravel everything that he's been, has been jumbled into his brain from, I think he said he'd been at 4 or 5 different churches, and so he had a big jumbled mess of what he thought religion and Jesus were and everything. But for the most part, safety is not an issue. It's very, very safe. And we will be living in a compound, which is like a walled area. And the only reason we have walls is some people tend to steal things just because they have to do something to live. And so, but we're going to be fine there. So, any other questions? Are they? There's 2 different languages. There is English language, which they call their primary language, and then they have a native tongue of, it's called Twi. And the students growing up in schools, they are forced to speak English. If they don't, they are punished in the schools. And then when they go home, their parents, most of the parents don't either don't know or are not good at speaking English, and so they'll speak Twi. And so you'll have young people that speak English and Twi. And sometimes they're not the greatest at both, but for the most part, young people will understand. If you speak slowly, they'll understand English. And so we have translators that'll help us in services. And so pretty much we'll just take out one of the college students with us and be able to serve someone. So when I was there, I took out one of the college students. His name was Maxwell, and then another one whose name is Seth. And it was a lot of fun. And when I was there, I got to see personally over 260 people saved. And it's incredible what's going on there. So our college has over right around 70 students right now, and we are maxed out. We have to turn away between 8 to 10 students every week that want to become a part of the college just because we don't have room. So that I really would ask you to pray for us to get more room, more space. So anyone else have a question? Yes. Many people just find whatever they can to try and sell. Some people will buy, say, a can of tomato paste, and they'll take a spoonful and put it in baggies, 1 spoonful, and they'll go on a street corner and sell a baggie with a spoonful of tomato paste. Because an average person makes about $15 a week, and so basically what they make for that day is what they use to eat off of. So it's a day-by-day basis. All the items there are the same price as they are here, if not more expensive, and yet it's a third world country. So they literally, it's day-by-day. If they don't work, they don't eat. So they have sources of income. Some people will have chickens and sell eggs, and other people will have pineapple, bananas, plantains, and they'll sell those. Some people will make bread, big loaves of bread, and carry them around on their head and sell them. but pretty much it's just finding whatever they can to sell. So, yes. Pineapples, plantain, bananas, papayas. They have some logging businesses. Some of the people that are craftsmen, some people build houses. You'll see people alongside the road that have built furniture. They'll just have it sitting out alongside the road for you as you're driving by to buy it. But for the most part, it's just fend for yourself, pretty much. It's a third world country. So, any other questions? Sure.
Why
There are gas stations. Gas is $6 a gallon. As far as roads and whatnot, a main road between cities or between places is asphalt, but other than that, it's dirt roads. The roads are pretty bad. You'll have holes that'll swallow a car. So, yes. How does everybody get their money? They work for it. No, they have to work for their money. There is no welfare system there. It's all, you have to make your own money. Along those, that question though, as far as plumbing and whatnot, they'll have running water, but not all the time do they have it. It's fed from a lake, and when the lake dries up, they have no water. So when that happens, they have to just use bottled water. But as far as plumbing and whatnot, they just have an open tube that just runs to the curb, and there's just big ditches and open sewage alongside the roads. So, pretty unsanitary, but wash your hands. Any other questions? Go ahead. Why doesn't anybody leave? Because they can't afford to. They can't afford to. It's where they're born is where they stay the rest of their life. As far as the houses are concerned, you buy a piece of property from the government, and if you do not build on it within a year, they take the piece of property back away. And so some people will build a simple mud hut with sticks, and they'll make this mud type of mortar and build the size and put a tin roof, just sheets of tin for the roof. But in the big city, what we'll be living in, they hand make blocks. They'll take and shovel it into a compactor and compact each block by hand and set it out, let it dry in the sun and bake. And then they'll build it with blocks, and then on the outside they'll put a skim coat of concrete so it looks sharp. So we will be living in nice quarters. It'd be similar to what is here. So, nice quarters. Yes, they will. They're being very cooperative with us, and it's incredible how cooperative they're being with us and allowing us to go out. The government's different there. They have kings and rulers and whatnot, and sometimes their king is like what would be our mayor, and you'll have different ones saying, oh, well, that's my property. No, that's my property. So it's getting something in writing saying this is, you know, whose it is and where it is. So. Any other questions? Sure. Weather, the coolest it gets is about 80 degrees, and when I was there, it got about that. It would stay between about 80 and 100, but it will get upwards of about 115 to 120 degrees. So, needless to say, I'll be even getting skinnier. one of the guys that went over there, he was a little bit bigger, and he lost like 25 pounds in just a couple months, so sweating it off. Any other questions? Sure. The properties that we are using right now, they are owned by different landlords, and the church building that we're using, we went in, it was a horrible mess. It used to be a movie theater, and we took and just did a whole remodel on the whole place. And when we did that, we made a deal with the landlord saying, we'll cut a 2-year lease with you, and the money we put into fixing it up is what will be our rent for 2 years. And they agreed to that, and also the same with the two compounds that we're in right now. They were not completely built. A lot of times, like I said with the property, they'll get a piece of property, and then they'll build to the extent that they have money, and then they'll stop until they get more money. So you'll see places all over that have, you know, just pillars on an open lot, or you'll see one floor built and pillars on top of that with nothing else. So there were all of our facilities pretty much, except the church building, were unfinished, and we cut a deal with the landlord saying, you know, we'll finish your buildings and make them look nice, and that will be our rent for 2 years. So we're hoping at the end of 2 years that we'll have our own property and be able to move out of those facilities. So, did that answer your question? Oh, go ahead. Building materials, the concrete blocks is pretty much what all the buildings are built with, and so those aren't hard to get. As far as good wood, if we ever wanted to build with wood, that's another issue. Sometimes you'll have, a lot of the wood has worms in it, or termites, and so you could build a piece of furniture and then, you know, a year down the road it just fall apart because termites ate it up. So that's why you have to treat it with special stuff so it doesn't do that. But most of all the buildings are pretty much primarily built with concrete, so because of the termite problem, so that you don't have to deal with that. All the flooring is pretty much tile, so that you don't have to deal with that. Did I answer your question? Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Yes. Medical services. There is an incredible hospital about an hour and a half north. That is where all the emergency and high-risk people go to. About 4 hours south in Accra is where just a basic hospital is, and that's probably where we will be going to, is the one in Accra. And she'll probably end up going down with a couple of the ladies there and spending for about a month before she's due. That's when she'll go down there. But the medical facilities are not, you know, as good as they are here, but they're solid medical facilities, and they're good. So, any other questions? Yes.
Law enforcement.
They have men along the side of the road with AK-47s. As you're driving down the road, sometimes there will be policemen having checkpoints because there will be, say for instance, someone, there was a vehicle that was spotted that had some guy that had dealt drugs or whatnot. Then they'll say, this certain car, if ever one goes by, you need to stop it. And so they'll have checkpoints, certain areas down the main highways, and they'll just randomly stop vehicles and check them to try and keep the place safe. But as far as crime and whatnot, there's not per se really a real law enforcement system. It's basically, you know, where the policemen are at, better go get one if something's happening. But it's relatively safe. And you can walk down the streets and just talk to people. It's very open. Yes. Medical is very inexpensive. It's not free, but it's very inexpensive. So that is a big plus. Yes. Electricity. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. They were having huge problems with electricity. They'd have electricity maybe 2-3 days out of the week, and that was it. So we ended up getting generators, diesel ran generators for all of our facilities, and sometimes even then we can't use the generators, so it's pretty good. So, go ahead. They do have phones, and so we're not out in the boondocks now. They have phones and use email, internet. That's primarily the easiest way to do it. What time do I need to quit?
20 after.
20 after.
25 after.
25? Okay. 25. Okay. Any other questions? Sure. Sometimes it's the government that owns the land, and sometimes it's individuals. It all depends.
The government gets money. Do they have a tax structure?
No taxes.
How
No. I know what you mean. They have high import and export taxes, and so that would be one form of it. But as far as their other revenue, I don't know. They would. So. Any other questions? Sure, right back. There is so many different ones. Most, even some of the Baptist churches will do the speaking in tongues. And it's really, you'll have, you know, Methodist, Nazarene. They'll even be ones that are called Baptist, and basically it's, you know, work salvation, and, you know, oh, if I didn't preach works, then my people wouldn't come back, and it's a mess. So there really isn't a predominant, per se, religion, but pretty much all what they believe is work salvation. So, who else had a question back here? Yes, sure. A crate, right? To have a we've sent a couple containers over, and without sometimes they will allow us to get a written document saying that it's just for our church purposes, and so they won't tax that. But if we don't get a paper saying that, then they could tax us whatever they wanted. They could do 100% of what they think the value is and make you pay taxes on it. That's they'll do it on what they think the value is, and they'll tax you anywhere from 30 to 100% what they think it is worth. So it's pretty unmerciful for that. So basically, it's doing your homework. So someone else had a question over here? Yeah. No, they have big marketplaces where you can go to, and there's. Within a few miles of where we're at, there's a huge marketplace, and about 1 million people go through there every day. So, we sent three crates. That was a good one. Oh. Yeah, when am I going to send the rest? I have no idea. That's all we have time for. Thank you for having us. Thank you for your time.